giving one to each couple because I'm not sure I printed up enough copies, so if you don't mind sharing them. And then if there's extra copies, Nathan and Mark, if there's extra copies left over, then we can spread them out accordingly. Thanks, Mark. Thank you. While you're settling in and getting your outline for the message for today, I'd like you to take your Bibles, please, and open them up to the Psalms. And if you'd find your way and join me in Psalm number 63. Thank you again, Mark and Nathan, for handing those out. Does everyone have a handout sheet, pretty much? Or do we need to distribute? We have a few extras back there. Anyone in need of one that doesn't have one? Good. Thank you, man. We appreciate that very much. We're going to look today at Psalm 63, which has just really been a blessing to me over the past few weeks, and just look at some practical things. You know, at the end of the year, I don't know about you, but I'd like to look back and reminisce, but I also like to look back at my own life and search within myself and ask myself with a year in review, I say, how much have I grown in my love for the Lord this past year? How much have I grown in my knowledge of Him? And in what ways specifically have I drawn closer to Him? Those are real good questions, aren't they? And they, of course, have answers. And so with this challenge before us, and Lord willing, in His will, if the Lord be not come, we have a new year before us, don't we? Amen? So that's a challenge to look back at a year in review and ask ourselves those questions again. How much have I grown in my love for the Lord? How much have I grown in my knowledge of who He is in my life? And in what ways have I drawn closer to my Lord? I'm just curious, how many today have ever looked at or read or seen on the newsstand Time magazine? Raise your hand if you've seen Time magazine. I think most of us have seen Time magazine. And did you know that it was interesting because I was thinking about Time, you know, looking back, and did you know that the first issue of Time magazine was published 92 years ago? I didn't know that. And so you can tuck that fact away somewhere in your mind. But the point is that at the end of the year and the beginning of the new year, do you ever notice that on the newsstand they have these year in review or, you know, things that happen? Well, Time magazine does that. They call it the year in review. The most remarkable things, the most gripping things that happened, whether they be things in technology or things in science or things in nature, things that were discovered, or politics, we won't go there. But they look at the year in review. So with that picture before you, that's what we kind of like to look at as we look at the psalm together, as we look and explore of what David saw in his life with the Lord. He wasn't in the temple anymore. He wasn't in the sanctuary anymore. He was in the wilderness in Psalm 63 that we'll explore together. And sometimes in our life, we feel like we're in the wilderness of life, don't we? And God meets us there, though. He does. He meets us there. And so I'd like to look at those things together. And then we'll, as time permits, a little further on in our reading and our exploring of Psalm 63. We're going to look at a couple other psalms briefly, too. We'll look at these six things, if you have your handout paper in front of you, six things which can help us grow in our appreciation of who God is. And I'll just review them quickly as you're looking at your handout sheet right now. Be early in His Word. We'll look at that together. Learn to trust Him more in and through life's trials. And the one who's speaking now has got much to learn of that, believe me. So I'm still a work in progress. Number three, fellowship of the brethren and sisters. Number four, God-focused meditation. A neighbor of ours, unfortunately, we shared the gospel with, but she said certain days of the week she goes for meditation, but It's not that kind of meditation I'm talking about. You know that. It's God-focused meditation. Number five, heartfelt prayer. And finally, number six, recalling to mind daily his faithfulness. And of course, it didn't surprise me when Nathan chose those hymns. I asked him to sing Great Is Thy Faithfulness, but Nathan, it didn't surprise me when you started off with the first hymn of Revive Us, because basically when we look at this, this will revive us as we look back at, and consider the faithfulness of God and consider knowing Jesus more intimately and personally and asking ourselves at the end of an old year and looking at a new year, how much have I grown in my knowledge of him and in what ways have I drawn closer to him? Well, that will cause our hearts to be revived as we look at him. So I trust that will be the outcome today as we explore these things together, drawing closer to him. So let's read together, shall we? Psalm 63. I'm going to read, and you'll read along with me silently as I read aloud. We're going to look at Psalm 63, and we're going to look at the first section of Psalm 63, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah, and he was thirsting for God, thirsting for God. And so, of course, then all these things that we've said to begin with have to do with beginning with an appetite and a thirst, a hungering to know God more. So Psalm 63, verse 1 reads this way. I'll be reading in the New American Standard Bible. O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. Another word for earnestly, of course, is early. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and a weary land where there is no water. Thus I have seen, or because I have seen, great is thy faithfulness. Thus I have seen you in the sanctuary. He's looking back now. To see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise you. We sang that hymn too. Again, Nathan, no surprise to my heart that he would choose that hymn. My lips will praise you. So, verse 4, so I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. Now notice the how he goes back, and it doesn't say if I remember you on my bed. That just really came strong before me. It doesn't say if I remember. It says when. It says when, brothers and sisters. David is saying, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, for you have been my help. Great is thy faithfulness. And in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you, and your right hand upholds me. Let's bow in a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the preciousness of your word. And dear Father, as we learn from David, who's writing this psalm, as we learn from David, we look back at a year and we say, great has been your faithfulness to us. But, oh God, we ask questions in our hearts and our minds this morning, and we look to thee for the challenges of the answer that we want to know thee more. We want to know thee more intimately and personally. And, Father, we want to see more of thy glory through thy word and through one another and through what you would have us pass through in our life so that, our Father, we can know you better and know your heart better and come to love you even more. So help us as we explore these verses together. May our hearts be cheered and rejoice in you this day. And may we be revived in our spirit as we will look into your word now. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. So it begins with our appetite, doesn't it? And our thirst. The past few days, we've all had a good appetite. Probably ate a lot more carbs than we should have, right? A lot more sweets than we should have. You get this sugar rush, and then all of a sudden, 3 hours later, you're like, so, but we need to have that kind of appetite for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, to have a deeper knowledge of him, don't we? And so the question, again, I pose to you, I pose to my own heart, how is my hunger for God's word? How is my hunger for God's word? So as we explore these verses together, that's what we're looking at, a hunger for God. And it's only as we experience an intimate and personal daily experience with our Lord that this hunger and thirst will grow more and more, the hunger and thirst that only He can satisfy. And if I was thinking, you know, and excuse my sanctified imagination, if you can call it that, but if King David were to publish a Time magazine, a year in review, it might begin with a psalm like Psalm 63 and other psalms, wouldn't it? Because here he's in the wilderness, and he's looking back in review, and he's remembering God's faithfulness, and he's thirsting for God. And his attitude of his heart was one of praise and worship. It wasn't long when he was down that the Lord brought him up. Because notice in verse number 4, his blessing to the Lord, and he says, I will lift up my hands in your name. You know, we heard on the radio coming in kind of something sad in the news, but I'll use it as an illustration because I was thinking of how many times you walk down the street these days, and I'm just as guilty as the next person. You're texting someone, not while you're driving, but you might be walking or something, and your phone beeps, and it's your son in Italy, or it's your friend, or whoever it is, and you want to get right back to them, so you put your head down, and you're walking, or you're sitting at the table, and you're texting, or whatever it is we're doing, and our head goes down. Well, unfortunately, this person we heard on the Christian radio station coming in was walking along a cliff, did that, and fell off to his death. So we have to be careful when we look down, because looking down, too, from a spiritual aspect, can bring our countenance down. And I have to raise my hand because I'm as guilty as the next person. It's so easy to get down spiritually. And that's what it's so important to look back and remember. David looked back to Jerusalem. David had an attitude on his heart of praise and worship because he looked back at before being driven out by his enemies to the wilderness. He looked back at precious times of worship in the sanctuary. And he experiences this in his mind and his heart. And now David's in the wilderness, and what is he thirsting after? He's thirsting after those times of intimacy with his Lord, and his heart is longing and thirsting and hungering after God. Well, might it be that way for you and I every day? So we remind our hearts and our minds that when we're in the wilderness of life, and that's where we are, we're in a dark world, that we need to look back at God's faithfulness. That's why I kind of printed out these things. I'm not a PowerPoint person yet. Mary Beth said, there's a lot of young men in the meeting that teach you to do PowerPoint. Well, maybe sometime, young men, you can do that. But for now, Mr. C is still kind of old-fashioned. So if you'll bring out your printout sheet, you know, here's six things. I thought of six. There's probably 66 things. But here's six things that we can experience as we grow in our appreciation of who God is. And they kind of tie in from what I gleaned from this psalm here. Oh, God. Now, I didn't say this in desperation. You know, some people say that and use that term, those two words, very loosely. And I don't mean to say this irreverently, but some people do say that, you know, and I won't repeat it. But some people will say it to that way. But he's not saying it with that tone. He's saying it in an affectionate way, in a longing way. Oh, God, you are my God. Recognizing the God that's been faithful to him in the past is the God that he's seeking now in the desert, in the wilderness, is the same God that he worshipped in the sanctuary. Oh, God, you are my God. Earnestly or early, I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you. What powerful words. What powerful words. Talk about a word picture. So six things that will help us grow in our appreciation of who God is. I think it begins with, I'm sure you'll agree with me, most of you will, I'm sure, be early in God's word. Be early, be earnest in God's word. It's a wonderful thing. I know it's so hard, especially raising children, been there, done that, and we're rushing off to work, but even if we can catch a little morsel in the morning, whatever time we can spend with the Lord, and catch a little gem, a little nugget, something from his precious word, before the cares of the day just rush in on us, the workload, the phone's ringing, the email's popping in, or whatever it might be, the boss calling you from this department to that department, or the children going six different ways, early, giving him the first part of the day. It's so precious. And that's what David was saying here. I'm seeking you early in the morning, early. And then the second thing, I'm going to go through the six things kind of quickly. You could take time to take this home and do your own little study, of course. But the second thing is learning to trust him more in and through life's trials. And as I said, I'm certainly standing before you as a work in progress. You know, like David, the psalmist, did when he was with his enemies here. Turn back to, keep your finger there, Psalm 63, because we're going to come back here. But just go back a couple of pages to Psalm 57. Psalm 57. I think I put that on your sheets, didn't I? Psalm 57, verse 1. Isn't that on your printout?
Yes.
Okay. So courageous, and yet David was so fragile, just like us, right? Mm-hmm. So courageous, and yet in many respects he was fragile, just like you and I. Psalm 57, verse 1. Be gracious to me, O God, be gracious to me, for my soul takes refuge in you. Not in the things that I had, not in the things that I will have, but my soul takes refuge in you. And I love this part of the verse. And in the shadow of your wings, I will take refuge. In the shadow of your wings, I will take refuge. Number three, fellowship of the brothers and sisters. Go back with me, please, to Psalm 63. Because your loving kindness is better than life. And if I could add two words to that, I would do what one of the commentaries did. So I'll borrow his words. He added those two words. I'm going to give them to you now. You ready? 63:3. Because your loving kindness is better than life can afford. Anything life can afford us. We heard on the news the other day about someone, I think my father-in-law told me about it, someone who I can't even imagine the wealth this person has, maybe a billionaire, so discontent with his life, his family, and everything else in life. He tried to destroy his home, he tried to set his home on fire, and he drove some type of amazing car, who knows what it was, $300,000 car, off the bridge to his death. Because your loving kindness is better than life can afford. We might be poor in this life, but we are so rich in Jesus. His loving kindness, his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness to us. And that is demonstrated by his word, by his daily faithfulness, and through one another. Fellowship of the brethren, and I put and sisters, the world of communication in the year 2015. It's right on your printout sheet. I was trying to think of the different ways we communicate with one another. We were sitting by the pool yesterday. We got scolded by an elderly lady who does not like texting or all that other stuff. She saw us. I was listening to my iPod, listening to some hymns. Mary Beth and Don, I think, might have been texting at the time or looking at their phones. And she says, "That's not communicating." She got mad at us. "That's not communicating." Well, maybe to her it's not, but it is communicating, because whether we text or Skype or FaceTime or tweet or email, and I'm sure there's six other things that I couldn't think of to add to that, just this past week, I put this here, and the brother knows who he is. He called me and said, "Mr. C, I have a verse for you." And I will tell you that the verse could not have been more appropriate. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God." So, fellowship of the brothers and sisters. It's essential. We keep in touch with one another no matter how we do it. If it's a text, a smoke signal, whatever it is, we think of one another and we love one another, as we mentioned in our men's study today, and we reach out to one another. Things that will help us grow in our appreciation of who God is. Because why? Because we're seeing the love of God demonstrated by one another. We're seeing the love of God demonstrated through one another. Number four, God-focused meditation. Notice what he says in verse 6. David recalls on his bed. Does not say, if I remember you. No. He doesn't say, it is when I remember you on my bed. Some of us spend sleepless nights. Others are blessed to put their head on the pillow and within minutes are sound asleep. Praise God for that. But others, sometimes the wee hours of the morning, we wake up and it is wonderful to meditate on him in the night watches. Amen. Be thinking upon him, meditating on him. That's in verse number 6. But let's look at another psalm, because I promise you we look at a couple other psalms together. So turn in your Bible, keep your finger back there at 63. We're not done yet. But look, please, at Psalm number 104, your printout sheet. And that's why I gave it to you, so that maybe you'd look at it later on too. 104 of Psalm. And look at verse, what is it, 33. Meditation on him draws us closer to God, doesn't it? It gives us a deeper reality of him in our life. And you know, the neat thing about this is that it pleases God. It pleases God. Psalm 104, verse 33 and 34. The psalmist says, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Let my meditation be pleasing to him. As for me, I shall be glad in the Lord. I shall be glad in the Lord. Isn't that wonderful that when we meditate on him, when we think upon him, that it pleases him? It pleases God. And don't we want to please God? We certainly do, and we want a deeper appreciation of him. And so that's where meditation takes us. The times we sit and mull over, chew over — that word meditation means to chew over. Don't just read it and reread it, but chew over it, bring it in and think upon it and be quiet and be still in his presence and allow the Holy Spirit to bring those thoughts deeper into your mind and to your thoughts, meditating on him. Psalm 104, 33 and 34. Mark that in your Bible. You've got it on a printout sheet. Number 5, heartfelt prayer. Heartfelt prayer. Being quiet before the Lord, praying and then listening. Praying and then listening. I have a quote for you. It's actually part of a quote by Whitney Phipps. And he is a pastor of a church, and his main ministry is to orphan boys. And orphan boys of men or women who are in prison. And he's also an amazing baritone singer for the Lord. But here's what he says about prayer. This is part of a huge quote. He sings, it is well with my soul, like no one else I've ever heard sing, it is well with my soul. But as an aside, he says this: it is in the quiet crucible of your prayer life that God's greatest gifts are given. Quietness of your prayer life. When we pray, and sometimes we do pray quickly before we eat, I'll have to confess that, but our prayer life, when we pray earnestly before the Lord and we think of others and we pray for others who are sick and we pray for missionaries and we pray for our walk with the Lord and we pray and then we're still before the Lord, it's during those still times that God speaks powerfully in our hearts. And we just sit there, and many times sit there with tears running down our face when he reveals some great truth to our hearts at that moment. And then I was reminded when we went to Phoenix this past summer, they sung a hymn in Mr. Jim and Miss Ruth's, my father-in-law and mother-in-law's son is out there, Donna and Mary Beth's brother, and at Open Door Fellowship, they sung a song there. I don't think I've ever heard it, but I don't remember the title of it, but I wrote some of the lyrics in the front of my flyleaf of my Bible where I write some of my poems and things. And this impressed me about this song. It says, as we think about heartfelt prayer, the waves, it's in your printout sheet, the waves and the wind still know his name and still know his voice. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's something about that name. He stills the waves and the winds in our life when we're in the wilderness, doesn't he? Heartfelt prayer. And then recalling to mind his great faithfulness. We must recall to mind his great faithfulness. Look back at Psalm 63, if you still have your bookmark there, your bulletin there, and Psalm 63. And we looked at that verse just a few minutes ago. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Why? Verse 7. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. I'll get back to verse 8 in just a minute. My soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me. But for now, recalling to mind daily his faithfulness. When David looked back, he looked back at a time when he was in the sanctuary worshiping. He's out in the wilderness now being chased around. He's out of his, if you will, his comfort zone. He's out there. Like we get out there sometimes, perhaps more times than we'd like. And sometimes out there in the wilderness might be just in our mind. And he recalled the preciousness of praise and worship. And so his lips resounded with that. He recalled times of great, in the sanctuary, of great praise and worship. In his heart, it was there, so it came out on his lips. And he continued with it. And there he was in the wilderness where there's no water, in a weary land. And yet his praise, the preciousness of his praise and worship was so deeply ingrained in him that it came out, that it came out. And then the second thing, notice in verse 6 here, and as in your printout sheet, the reality and the nearness of God's presence. He was in the wilderness, but he had that sense of the presence of God. Just like in verse 2 says, thus, because I've seen you in the sanctuary, I've seen your power, I've seen your glory, and I've seen your loving kindness, and I'm going to experience it now. I'm going to experience it now in the wilderness. And he experienced many times over when Saul was chasing after him, didn't he? The delivering power, the perfect delivering power of his God. And then the glory of his God. He saw the glory of his God in the sanctuary. And then he experienced, as we do many times, don't we, the peace of God. The peace of God that passes all understanding. And what was the result? Excuse me while I have a drink. Where there was no water, and I've got a bottle of water. His soul was completely satisfied. The result is his soul was completely satisfied. His heart was full of praise. His hands were lifting up because his countenance wasn't droopy. He wasn't looking down like we sometimes get. But his hands and his heart were lifted up. And there's a psalm that goes along with that. If you don't mind turning a little bit forward to Psalm 104. Would you turn to Psalm 104? And we looked there before. I want to read further down into Psalm 105. We looked at verse 33-34, how let my meditation be pleasing to you. And then look at 105, because it follows through. As he desires that his meditation of who God is in his life, and this is what it's all about, right? Knowing who God is better this year than we did last year, is his thought of my meditation, Lord, may it be pleasing to you. May I know you more deeply, but may that meditation be a delight in your sight. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. I'm reading at Psalm 105. as we look at God's faithfulness. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Speak of all his wonders. Not only was his soul completely satisfied in the desert, not only was his heart full of praise, but he was expressing that outwardly, and now he's ready to speak and tell others of the wonders. And that's what it means to be living Christ and knowing Christ better and more intimately. It's so much so that we just can't wait to tell others. You know, it really, while it gladdened our heart on Christmas Day to be with a couple from our community who are a Catholic couple, and it gladdened our heart, and Jim shared from the scriptures about the name of Jesus, and yet there was gladness, but it was kind of mingled with sadness too, because as we were speaking, all of us were speaking of the wonders of our Savior and sharing that with them, there was a sense of sadness because we're not sure if they really got it, you know, because this man, Carl, said, I just don't understand why he had to end his life so quickly. He was only 33 years old. Look at all the miracles that he did. Look at all the good that he did. If he could have lived longer, he would have done more. And then we tried to point him to the scripture in the psalm, because he quoted, my God, my God. He said that from the cross, this man said. But then I brought him to that scripture in Psalm 22, and I brought him to the verse that says why he had to go through it. For thou art holy, O my God. It was the holiness of God that demanded the sacrifice for our sins. And I shared that with him, but I don't think he got it. I don't think he got it. So, you know, as we grow in our knowledge of Christ and we desire to share it, we won't always see the fruits right away. And as my wife and sister-in-law have reminded me this past week over and over again, with the different people the Lord has brought in contact with us in Sarasota, we may not see it in this lifetime, but we're planting seeds, and others will water, we will water, and others will continue. So as we look at a new year, we speak about it to others. We won't always see the results. I know Paul Howland was up here a few months back, and he sees many results, and perhaps in his boldness, the Lord gives him that. We may not experience that kind of results right away, but God, we leave the results to the Holy Spirit and let God do the rest. And so as we return to Psalm 63, we looked a little bit of giving thanks to him and speaking of his wonders and glorying in his name in Psalm 105, and seeking the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually, Psalm 105 verse 4, and remembering his works which we've done. We look back at a year past, we remember his works. And then we, in verse 7, he is the Lord our God. Just the simplicity of who God is and drawing close to him in my innermost being. And there's a word that came before me in this psalm. I think it was 104, if I put it in my notes. But it said, my innermost being, my soul. Oh, it's 63:8, that's where it is. It's 63:8. I lost my notes for a second there. Sorry. Psalm 63, verse 8. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. That's a really powerful word, cling, isn't it? That's a really powerful word, cling. May I suggest to you and to my heart this morning, as I close in a moment, may I suggest to you, to cling means to grasp and attach oneself to. May I suggest that in order for us to cling, we must first experience the embrace. In order for me to cling to someone, to my Lord, I must first experience his embrace. Have we experienced his embrace? I wrote a poem years ago. I'll read it for you if you can suffer through it. It's only four lines. It says, do I miss his embrace, the one who saved me by his grace? Do I long for his presence near, the one whose voice I love to hear? May his love fill my weak, poor heart. From his embrace may I never depart. To cling means to grasp and attach oneself to. In order to cling, we must feel his embrace. I hope we can experience that. I've experienced that a number of times, but what God wants us to experience that is more than just a couple times, so that we know in our life that underneath are the everlasting arms. That can be a reality. That can be part of knowing God more, knowing our Lord Jesus Christ more, the innermost being of our soul. I'd like to use this illustration, and I hope Nathan over there, and I hope Conrad and Rachel won't be offended with what I'm going to use as an illustration, but I'm using it from the depths of my heart. Last Sunday, we were sitting in the men's meeting, and you couldn't have fit another guy in that room last week. You would have had to use a shoehorn. It was a wonderful thing. We had a lot of visitors, and it was pretty packed in there. And Nathan was trying to get Ruthie through in her chair, and I'm sitting in back of David Dunlap, and I'm observing. And he realized in a brief second or two that he wasn't going to make it through the barrage of men that were sitting there. So he quickly unbuckled Ruthie, and he picked her up in his arms. And she clung to him, like she would to her daddy, Conrad, or to Rachel, or to Grandpa or Grandma. He clung to her. She clung to him, and she smiled, Ruthie smiled that just melts your heart. But she really clung to him. She clung to him because she's felt his embrace. And I almost lost it right there, like I'm going to lose it now. But that's what spoke to my heart so much. That's the way Jesus wants us to know him. She didn't have a fear in the world. There wasn't any ounce of anything but joy on her face as Nathan carried her across the room very cautiously, and the chair followed. There was nothing but joy. And there would be nothing but joy, brothers and sisters, when we cling to our Savior, when we feel his embrace, when we know his presence with us. And that's what the nearness of God is all about. That's what our innermost being, our souls, must thirst for and seek him earnestly for, seek him early for, and have a hunger for. The Apostle Paul speaks of this when he talks about the goals of the believer's life to be found in Christ. That's what being found in Christ is all about. That's what knowing him more intimately is all about. That's what's pressing toward. We have a sister in Virginia that says pressing deeper to Jesus. That's what she means by that. His nearness, his presence, daily, hourly, so that the peace of God fills our souls. Michael W. Smith sings it. I made a CD, but I knew there would be no time, so I left it in my bag. But he sings a wonderful CD from his worship. He wrote the song, the hymn, from his worship CD. And I'm sure many of you have heard the song, the hymn called Breathe. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. Hold up your Bibles, brothers and sisters. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you. That's the words of the hymn. I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without you. The new year before us, may God help us to love him more, to have a more intimate and personal, and yes, a cling to him, because he is our God, because underneath are those wonderful, everlasting arms. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we thank